We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Chuck Freeman joining us today. And a guy who's been around baseball a long time. Very proud of his coverage of baseball and his books on Italian baseball. He's the second one that he's written. He's got a new one coming out, Baseball Italian Style. Going to bring in Larry Baldassaro. He's been a longtime professor at UWM, Italian. He taught over there, and he's got a new book that's coming out. Larry, great talking to you.
Thanks for having me, Chuck.
Larry, I know you've been working on this book for a long, long time. Tell me about a little bit about your background. I mentioned about, you know, you worked for UWM. Give me your history on that.
Well, I came here in 1972, straight out of graduate school. I was an Italian professor for 36 years and also directed the UWM Honors College the last 13 years that I was here. I've been retired a few years now, and but I've been writing about baseball for since the early 80s. Start out of the sideline. I'm a lifelong Red Sox fan. Played ball from, you know, little league through college, Legion ball, 1 year of semi-pro ball. So it's been a great passion of mine. So I started writing about baseball, and as time went on, I got more and more serious about it and suddenly realized that nothing had been written about Italian Americans in Major League Baseball. So that's what motivated me to produce Beyond DiMaggio, which came out in 2011. It's the first comprehensive history of Italian Americans in baseball. And in the process of researching and writing that book, which goes back to the turn of the 20th century, I interviewed about 50 major leaguers of Italian descent, mostly players, but also coaches, managers, front office execs, owners, umpires. And after Beyond DiMaggio was published, I started thinking, well, what's going to happen to all these interviews I've done, some of which go back to players whose careers began in the 1930s. So this covers nine decades of baseball history. And I thought, you know, I simply donate the tapes, the recordings to, I don't know, perhaps the Baseball Hall of Fame, they would be accessible only to people who went there. So why not put them into a single volume? And that way they'd be accessible to any and all baseball fans because, again, there's a lot of history in there, nine decades, and a lot of fascinating stories.
Yeah. And, you know, you and I talk all the time at games, and, you know, we've been friends for a long time. And I'm always fascinated because you always tell me, you know, you go to a visiting locker room and you'll talk to this player and have sit-downs with some of these guys. And I always enjoy hearing some of the stuff that you uncover and some of the stuff on Italian players. And some of these guys who are very proud of their Italian heritage, no doubt will be in the book.
Yeah, well, virtually everybody I interviewed. I mean, some of the interviews I did were very brief, you know, all depending on circumstance and availability. But any of the lengthier interviews, there are 44 of them in the book. And what I've done, this is not a book of, you know, Q&A, which is hard to read. I followed the pattern used by Lawrence Ritter in The Glory of Their Times, which goes back to 1966 and is, you know, the sort of the benchmark for any oral history related to baseball. So I deleted my questions so that now these are first-person narratives, more readable that way, and it reads like they read like mini-memoirs.
All right. Well, throw some names out. I know Tony La Russa is part of the book.
Yeah, the book includes among the 44 interviewees are eight Hall of Famers, eight of the 13 that are in the Hall of Fame, the three managers, La Russa, Lasorda, and Torre, and five players, Rizzuto, Berra, Ron Santo, Craig Biggio, and Mike Piazza.
Now, of that list, the guy who I know was very proud, and I'm sure they all are, about being Italian, it seemed like I've always heard Tommy Lasorda, whether he was on The Tonight Show or wherever, talk about his Italian heritage and, you know, about what he liked to eat and all that.
Right. Yeah, Tommy, they say about Tommy he bleeds Dodgers blue, but he also bleeds his red Italian blood.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he by far is the most outspoken about his passion for his Italian heritage. And he's done a lot of work with, you know, baseball in Italy, promoting baseball in Italy. He was the ambassador at large for the World Baseball Classic. So, yeah, he's very passionate about. In fact, when I interviewed Joey Amalfitano, who was his longtime third base coach for the Dodgers, and they both spoke Italian, and Amalfitano told me that Lasorda would be in the dugout, and he would yell out the instructions in Italian to Amalfitano at third base.
Oh, man.
And Amalfitano would relay the signs to the hitters and so forth. Yeah, Tommy, his motto is, I'd crawl a mile to shake the hand of an Italian.
Yeah,
but surprisingly, probably number two in that list was Billy Martin. Even though Billy Martin was Italian only on his mother's side, he was very much into his Italian heritage. And many of the people I interviewed in the book said that he would call them Dags or Dago, but affectionately as, you know, establishing a bond. Dave mm-hmm. Righetti, Sal Bando, a whole bunch of people told me that he had that connection with them.
So what else can you tell me about Billy Martin? I mean, other than the fact that we know he was fired numerous times as the hired and fired, but what can you tell me a little background on Billy?
Yeah, well, Billy's not in the book.
He's not? Okay.
Well, he passed away before I was doing the interviews.
1989, I remember he passed away. It was Christmas
Day.
Yeah,
I started in 93, which actually was Phil Rizzuto was my first interview at Coney Stadium.
Okay.
And that sort of spoiled me because with Phil, the scooter, you just turned on your recorder, asked a question, and sat back.
Oh, I remember the old Coney Stadium when Phil used to come to town with the Yanks broadcast team.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but there are several stories about Billy Martin. For example, Sal Bando, when he was captain of the Oakland A's when they won their three consecutive series, 72-74, and Martin was managing the Tigers. The A's and the Tigers had a series once, and they had a brawl on Friday night. Surprisingly, you know, knowing Billy Martin, that's shocking, I know, but it happened. So the next day, Sal goes out, he would bring out the lineup card as captain to the umpires, and Billy comes out of his dugout, and he's got his starting lineup there, but also you have to fill in your bench players, right? So he's got listed as his bench players Rocky Marciano, Carmen Basilio. He's got all these Italian fighters as his bench players, and Sal Bando just cracked up. He thought that was so funny.
Wow. So, what are some of the other interesting names that you really thought? Give me Tony La Russa. What was the sit down with him? And give me how you approached that, too.
Tony La Russa is, you know, I think generally known as not being a huge media person.
Yeah.
So I approached him one day, it was probably 8 years ago in the Miller Park Clubhouse. And told him what I was doing, and he agreed to do the interview. He says, meet me tomorrow at 3 o'clock or whatever. So I went back the next day at 3 o'clock, and there he was. And he says, oh, you know, I just got too much before the game. I can't do it today. So I figured, okay, he's going to blow me off. He says, but come back tomorrow. Well, I did, and there he was in his office, and we sat down, just the two of us. I had my recorder going, asked him questions, and, you know, he was multitasking. He's looking at his notes while he's answering my questions.
Oh, he's on the game, you mean? His preparation for the game while he's talking to
you. Absolutely. He was focused, but he answered my questions fully. He got into detail, talked about who influenced him, about his Italian heritage, and he turned out to be a very good interview.
Baseball,
surprisingly so.
Baseball Italian Style, Larry Baldassarre is joining us right now. His book is coming out. I want to get further into some of these other interviews, but Larry, how could people find the book?
Well, first of all, I'm doing a signing at Boswell Books here on Downer Avenue on Tuesday, March 27th.
Okay.
At 7 p.m. The book is available now at Boswell, or if it's not in other local bookstores, you can always get it on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
All right. And I noticed that, Amazon, $29.99, is that the price?
No, it should be $24.95.
$24.95, okay.
Yeah.
$24.95. All right, give me a couple other characters that you interviewed in this book.
Well, I mean, I'll just mention, you know, there's some of the local people here. There's two players with the Braves, Sibby Sisti and, of course, Joe Torre.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Brewers, Sal Bando, of course, Chris Bosio, and Chris Capuano. And all of those are really interesting. I'll just tell you one quick story of Sibby Sisti, who retired in 54. And one of the things I would ask about the old-timers, particularly their thoughts about, you know, the escalating salaries and how much money guys are making these days. And most of them were pretty good about it. But Sibby Sisti says, when I look at the money these guys are making these days, it's enough to make you sick.
Oh, yeah.
But then, like everybody before free agency, or just about everybody, free agency and arbitration, those guys worked in the off season. You know, they made about as much money as the guys that were writing about them. So Sisti worked primarily as a truck driver, and he said, you know, my friends knew I was a major league ball player, and they said, "Geez, what are you doing working in the winter?" And Sisti says, "I had a stock answer for them." He said, "I've got a very bad habit." He says, "I like to eat in the winter as much as I do in the summer."
Yeah, because they don't get paid in the wintertime. Yeah.
People forget that. I mean, yeah. Those guys had to go out and work.
Yeah, because they're probably, what was the average salary back then? What did you say,
Larry? Oh, boy, $5,000-$6,000 maybe?
Yeah, not very good.
Yeah.
Larry, what about the sit-down with Sal Bando? Tell me a little bit of insight on that one.
Well, I spoke to Sal a couple of times over the years, and Sal, as you know, Sal's a terrific person, regardless of his playing his career in baseball and as a general manager, which was, you know, he was a great ball player. People forget that.
He was one of the first big free agent signings of the Brewers back in the
70s. Absolutely, absolutely. And then he came here, became captain, and then, of course, general manager for 8 years, which was a very tough period. He admitted that because... Now, this is a small market team at the time, and they were in the midst of trying to get a new stadium built. So there just wasn't much money. So he said it was a tough 8 years for him as GM.
Yeah, I thought he got a little bit, and you covered the team back then, Larry. I just thought he got a little bit more grief than he should because he was hamstrung by the way baseball was in the 90s in Milwaukee.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But... terrific guy. He had some fascinating stories about his time, apart from the Billy Martin story I just told you.
Yeah.
You know, he was the captain, so he had to go the go-between. He was the go-between between the team and Charlie Finley, the owner. And Finley, of course, there was a lot of tension between the A's and Finley. He was tight-fisted, very hands-on. He wouldn't let them fly charter, said he couldn't afford it. So Sal had to, you know, take the phone calls, take the heat, and he stood up to Finley. He was pretty tough.
Boy, Chuck Finley, I heard a story, Charles Finley, back in like 1980 when Billy Martin took over the A's. He was so Finley was so cheap that he did not negotiate a radio deal with any radio station. So the games were on radio.
Uh-huh.
And they just hired Billy Martin. Remember Billy Ball when Billy Ball came?
Like, oh, yeah.
So they went on like some local campus radio station. And the game was broadcast on this like 2-watt radio station.
Oh, yeah.
And the A's got off to a great start. Mm-hmm. A great start with that bunch there.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, people were pounding their radios at night trying to get this campus radio station because they wanted to hear Oakland A baseball because they were relevant once again. And finally, you know, Charles got a deal done with one of the local radio stations in Oakland or San Francisco, and they were on their way. But I thought it was just a classic story that he said, "Screw it, I'm just going to go on this campus radio station over here."
Yeah, it was an ongoing battle with him. The A's even threatened to go out on strike once as a team.
Yeah,
you know? It would have been the first team strike in the history of baseball, and it really came down to the last minute when Finley gave in because he wasn't going to play a few players that he wanted to sell, and that was quite an interesting story from Sal.
Baseball Italian style. Larry Baldassaro is joining us. All right, you gave me a Sal story. Throw me a few more other stories with these guys. Tony La Russa, some other ones.
Give me another local connection with Chris Bosio.
Yeah, the Boz.
You know, when Chris was here as a ball player, you'll recall he was quite fiery. Terrific pitcher, very competitive. But, you know, he had a temper. He was volatile. And so now I got to sign. I knew him then pretty well because I wrote for the Brewers magazine about Chris. And then he left, and I sort of never forgave him when he went to Seattle. He threw a no-hitter against my Red Sox. But
oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Anyway, so now he's with the Cubs as a pitching coach, and he'd come in, and I'd sit in the dugout every time he'd come into town and talk to him. So I spent hours with him interviewing him, and boy, he told me stuff about his personal life, and he really opened up. His mother was quite ill when he was young, and he had two younger siblings. So he basically had to help take care of them. He did the cleaning and the cooking for his brother and sister. I think he grew up very fast. He was a terrific athlete. He was an AAU swimming star in junior high and high school. Great football and baseball player. And just fascinating things I never knew about him. And by the time I got to talk to him when he was a coach, he had mellowed. He's really quite a different person. And a terrific pitching coach. And he really went into detail about what I never talked to a pitching coach that way. And he gave me, you know, stuff about what does a pitching coach do? And I didn't realize that he's been a coach for a long time. He had a baseball camp in California that I wasn't aware of. So he impressed me very much. I still don't know why the Cubs let him go. And of course, now he's with the Tigers. Be a bit of a more of a challenge, I think, with the Tigers than with the Cubs, but I wish him well, and he's a good guy.
Before he went to the Cubs, he was living in Appleton for a while.
That's right.
And,
that's right.
And
he married a woman from Appleton.
He did.
And he was living up there.
He did, and he was running a pitching clinic up there and helping
that's
high schools
right.
up there too.
That's right.
And Larry, what he would do, this is 10 years ago when I was working in Green Bay. Every so often he'd call me up and say, hey, do you need a guest to come in and talk some baseball? And of course, I'm not going to pass up Bosio.
Right.
So he would come in and he'd sit in a whole hour with me and talk some baseball. And then, of course, the stories off the air were even better because I'd always ask him questions about those early 90s Brewer teams and some of those guys. But yeah, I thought he was great. And he would always tell me, God, I just would love to get back into baseball. It's got to be the right thing. And before you know it, he was a pitching coach with the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah. You know, and I have to say something about the guys I spoke to, six players whose careers began in the 1930s.
Sure.
Frank Crosetti is the first speaker in the book. He started in 1932 as a Yankee shortstop. And he spent more time in a Yankee uniform than anybody in history, in franchise history, between being a shortstop and third base coach. They had 38 years wearing a Yankee uniform. You know, they won so many World Series. At a certain point, they stopped giving him a World Series ring, and instead they gave him engraved shotguns because he was an avid duck hunter.
Oh, wow. So they wouldn't give him a World Series ring because he had that many?
He didn't need any more. He wanted the shotguns.
The shotgun, jeez, okay. That's something. I never heard of that before.
But he told me a story about, I guess he was a little sickly as a child, and the doctor told his family they needed to move out to the country. So he and his brother were growing up on a farm in Los Gatos, California, and they'd play the old baseball game of one-o-cat, just pitcher and hitter.
Yeah.
And he said they would use the fat ends of corn cobs as the baseballs, and then they'd whittle down boards to use those as bats. Can you imagine?
Oh, that's, yeah, that's...
So, Crosetti is, the first speaker in the volume going back to the 30s. And then you go to the other end of the time spectrum, say Joey Votto, who I interviewed this past season, who was a great surprise to me. Man, what a student of the art of hitting. Yeah, he's read and memorized Ted Williams' book on hitting. He really impressed me. Articulate, nice guy. But, here he is talking about sabermetrics and the advanced analytics and how they're changing the game. And you go back to Frank Crosetti talking about playing baseball with a corn cob.
Yeah, that's, I think I people aren't aware of the Italian, and I didn't really know that till you and I were talking about it a couple of years ago, about the Italian history in baseball. I know he had you on. I had you on 7 years ago, I think, when you came out with your previous book, Beyond DiMaggio.
Right, right.
But,
right.
Before we let you go here, give me where the book can be found. and your appearances. You made an appearance in San Francisco, too, didn't you, recently?
Yeah, and I'm going to do that for this book, too. I'm going to San Francisco and San Diego, the local Italian-American organizations there. I'm doing a presentation and signing in late April, first in San Francisco and 2 days later in San Diego. So I'm looking forward to that.
Fantastic. And the appearance on Downer, you got coming up here?
Yeah, first Boswell Books on North Downer Avenue. That's Tuesday, March 27th at 7 p.m. The book is available there now, but it's also available at the usual online sites, Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Very good. Hey, Larry, before I let you go, I would be remiss because you cover the Brewers. What are your thoughts on the upcoming season?
Well, you got to be optimistic. I mean, considering how well they played last year and the great additions they made with Yelich and Kane, and hoping that Nelson gets back and retains his form, and a couple of the young pitchers continue to do well, it's going to be an exciting season. You know, baseball is the toughest sport to predict because it's so long and there's so many injuries. But as it looks now, I think this is going to be a fun and exciting season for the Brewers.
Good stuff. Larry, thanks for joining us. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Great. Thank you, Chuck. Take care.
That's baseball Italian style. Larry Baldassaro joining me here. This is Chuck Freeman. Have yourself a great day, everybody.